Today's Shi'ur Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph. Amar Aleph, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch, on the top line. It says the Gemara, Unkelus Bar Klumnis. Unkelus, the son of Klumnis, Igayir, became a ger. Shadda Kesa Gunda Dermoy Basrei, the king of Rome sent after him a troop of soldiers to, he should come to him. It says the Gemara, Mashach Inabakroi, he spoke to them and he convinced them how correct it was to become a ger, v'gayir, and they all became gerim. Here, many mefarshim asked the question that we know that as part of our religion is not to necessarily encourage people to become gerim. So how did Unkelus try to convince these individuals to become gerim? So some suggest that this iser, some suggest that this iser, of one is not supposed to try to convince somebody else to become a ger, is only if it's a Jew. A born Jew should not try to convince other people to become gerim. But a ger is allowed to convince other people to become gerim. And that's what happened over here. Unkelus was a ger, and he was convincing other people to become gerim. That's one teretz. However, that's the teretz the Inyan Yaakov gives. However, that there are those that suggest that even in a situation where we have somebody who's not Jewish, that it's obvious that this person is sincere in his wanting to become part of Klal Yisrael, and he really wants to be part of Klal Yisrael, that individual, there's no point to distance them from Klal Yisrael. And that's the approach that Chishuk Echema takes here. And therefore, if we have a situation where it's obvious that it's his goal, that that's what he wants, that's what he should do. And he gives, actually, he mentions two interesting episodes. He says there was somebody who was living in Uruguay, and there was some sort of a terrorist attack in Uruguay, and there was a girl left unattended. They just killed the parents, and the girl was left alone. Nobody was paying attention to her. And there was a Jewish couple, a religious Jewish couple, who walked by and saw this child, and they took this child in as their own child. They didn't ask that they knew she wasn't Jewish. They didn't necessarily publicize the fact that she wasn't Jewish, but she wasn't Jewish. She went to school. And the halacha is, when you have a child like that, when she becomes old enough to be able to choose, they asked her, do you want to be a ger? Do you want to convert? And she said, absolutely. And then they asked her, why are you so certain that you want to become a ger? And she said, I think about the people who took me in, who raised me. I was in the street of Uruguay, and no one was paying attention to me. The only people that thought about me, and wanted to take me in was this Jewish couple. It's such a proof to me that that's what makes Klal Yisrael so special, and I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. When they saw that that's her attitude towards being a member of Klal Yisrael, he writes, there's no point in trying to delay it, and we immediately accept the Geiris. He says another story where apparently there was a woman in Eretz Yisrael who was under the assumption that she was Jewish. And because she was under the assumption that she was Jewish, her children were obviously raised as Jewish, went to yeshivas, etc., and were part of our community. And then, based on a trip that they made to Europe, they realized that their mother's mother was a non-Jewish woman. She was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery with all those markings of being a non-Jew. So they realized that they weren't Jewish, even though they had lived and assumed that they were Jewish their entire lives. And they right away wanted to be Magayer. And there too, he says that even though normally the halacha is, we try to discourage somebody who wants to become a ger from immediately becoming a ger. In this situation, where it's very much that they're part of our community, the halacha is that we accept the gerus right away, and this procedure of discouraging doesn't apply. So he says that's part of the way of understanding our Gemara, where it's obvious that there's no reason to discourage them, that we accept the gerus right away. So now the king, after he saw what happened with the first group, sent a second group. But now he warned them, don't get into any philosophical, religious, theological conversations. Kavashakl Ozlu, as they were about to leave, Amalahu, so Uncle said to these soldiers, I want to just mention something to you. He said, if we have in the Fura a low-level soldier, Naka Nura Kame Papira, if somebody has to walk in the street and it's dark, he's the one that holds the candle in front of the person who's more important. Papira Ladukhsa. And the Papira holds the candle, the light, for the person above him who's a Duksa. And Duksa holds the light for the Hegmoina. And the Hegmoina holds the light, Lekaima. Kaima means the Melech. Kaima, Minak and Nura Kame and She. But does the king ever hold a light for someone else? Amrle Loi. Of course not. Amalu, Sunkla said, let's think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nakat Nura Kame Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that held the light in front of Klai Yisrael, the Ksiv. As Klai Yisrael were traveling through the Midbar, the Pasuk says, Vashem hoylech lefneim yoinam yoyma ba'amar onal an chos ma'derech, layla ba'amareish lohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us the way. As soon as they heard this and recognized this quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'gayir kulan, they also became gerim. So now the king sends another group of soldiers. Don't talk to him about anything. They were going to start traveling. There was a mezuzah on the doorway. So Uncleus put his hand on the mezuzah. So they asked him, what is this mezuzah for? He said to my high, what is this? Uncle asked the soldiers. The soldier says, we don't know, you tell us. When we think about the way things normally are in the world, Melech Basvadam, Yoshe Bifnim, the king sits inside the palace, V'achshav, V'avodav, Misham Reis HaBechutz, and his servants watch him from outdoors. Ila HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just the opposite. V'avodav Bifnim, we who have the Avdei Hashem sit indoors. So this is what makes us so special, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us all the time. So they too now became Gerim. At that point, Sula Ashad Basrei, the king saw there's no point in sending any more Avadim after him. So here we see that the mezuzah is here to watch us. And as the Gemara Masechet Menacha says, the pasuk bat mezuzah is shemrecha atza Hashem tzulcha ayad imenacha, that the mezuzah protects us. However, the Paiskim all do mention that even though the mezuzah serves as a protection, still one should not put up the mezuzah with the intention that the mezuzah should be protecting us. You put up the mezuzah because the mitzvah in the Torah is that we should put mezuzahs on our doors. Then they protect us. In fact, the Sefer Yerayim writes that many have the minig to write the names of certain mezuzahs, a certain malachim in the mezuzahs, for protection, for added protection. The Rambam is very against doing this. He says by writing these malachim's names on the mezuzah, they are being over the mitzvah bal toisef. We're not allowed to add more than what it says in the mezuzah into the mezuzah. And he says in general, he feels that they're degrading the significance of the mezuzah by turning it into some sort of an alarm. The Ramach, however, says, I don't understand the Rambam. He says, our Gemara clearly indicates that the mezuzah is there as a shmira. So why is the Rambam so upset if people write the name of Malachim for a shmira in the mezuzah? The Kess of Mishnah, however, says, like we said earlier, he says, yes, the mezuzah, as the Gemara here taught us, offers protection. But even though the mezuzah offers protection, that is not the real purpose of the mezuzah. The purpose of the mezuzah is because there's a mitzvah in the Torah for us to write, to put mezuzahs on the doors. And that's what's supposed to be our point in putting up a mezuzah. That's what we're supposed to be thinking when we put up a mezuzah. The fact that it also serves as a shmira is something extra. The Rambam writes that in Yerodeya Simen Resh Pei Hei, quotes the Maril, that when somebody leaves his house, he should put his hand on the mezuzah and say, Hashem Yishma Tzeisu V'yachi. And the Rizal also speaks about putting the hand on the mezuzah and kissing the mezuzah as we leave the home. The interesting thing is, the Rebbe Kveig in the Tshuvas, Simen Nun Hei, says that this minig of putting one's hand on the mezuzah when he leaves the home has no source. Of course, what makes Rebbe Kveig so difficult to understand is that our Gemara clearly indicated that that's what Unkelus did. The only thing, so nobody really has a good answer in understanding what Rebbe Kveig says. But one thing that's very clear that Rebbe Kveig does say in that tshuva is apparently in those days they didn't put the mezuzah into a case. They just put the mezuzah without a case on the door. So Rebbe Kveig is saying that the halacha is one is not allowed to put his hands on a mezuzah, on a sefer Torah, without, if they're not in the case, that's why we're not allowed to touch the cloth of the sefer Torah. So that we could well understand where Rebbe Kiva Eger doesn't want us to touch the mezuzah if it's not in a case. But if it's in a case, as we said, the Rama says that the minig is to kiss the mezuzah as one leaves or enters a room, and the Rizal actually says that the spot on the mezuzah where somebody should put his hand, says that Rizal, is actually outside the mezuzah. Normally, the Shem Shakai is written, and that's where you should put your hand on top of the name Shakai. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Rivka, as she was suffering the pain of pregnancy, and she went to ask in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, what's going to be? And the pasuk says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent her a message. Gay means important people. Who are they? It's Antoninus V'Rebbe. Shleposkim al Shulchanam, that there was never was there from the table missing loy chazeres v'lekishus, not lettuce or cucumbers, v'leitznoin radishes, loy b'mois hachama, v'loy b'mois hagishamim. Damamar, because the Gemara says, tznoin, the radish, mechatech es oichel, it digests the food, chazeres mehapes chamoichel, it makes the food move through the system, kishus marchev es mayim, the cucumbers make one be able to eat and not feel too full, not feel unwell from eating. Ask the Gemara, so here it seems that kishus is a good food, but ask the Gemara, tana deberi v'shmol, namar nekashman kshuim, why they call kshuim, b'nei shekoshin l'gufa shel adam b'charoves, they're like putting stones, putting sword into a person's body, and so he b'nei shekoshin, shel adam b'charoves, so why are we saying that that was such a great thing that they did? Answers the Gemara l'kashla. Habaravri, the big cucumbers are not healthy. Habazutri, the small cucumbers are fine. So our Gemara describes the home of Rebbe and Antoninus. Shlepaskum al shulchanam loy tznoiv lechazeres loy b'maisachama v'loy b'yos hagishomim. So the pashup shot is that the person who ate in Rebbe's home, or in Atignas home, did not have to feel that the eating that he'll eat there will harm him. So they gave them foods that helped them digest the food properly. Another pshat, which is probably the pashup pshat in the Gemara, is that lepaskum al shulchanam means that these foods weren't available during all seasons of the year. But because Rebbe and Antigonus were so wealthy, they were able to afford buying these foods all the time during the year. Another pshat that I saw is that what we're learning from here is lepaskum al shulchanam. They would invite people to eat in their homes, but they were very careful that when they invited somebody to eat in their home, the people should eat like you're supposed to eat, sitting by the table. The Gemara says, lepaskum al shulchanam, they sat by the table. The Chasam Sofer has a whole different pshat in this Gemara. His pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara is actually teaching us how one is supposed to live. And the way one is supposed to learn Torah, I mean. One tznoin, radish, is sharp. Chazeres is from the word chazoro. There are two ways of learning Torah, we know. One is tznoin, sharp, to learn the iyun with lomdis. And the other way is chazaros, is bikiyas, to learn. And what they were teaching us is lepaskum al shulchanam, the shulchanam that's being referred to is the table that they sat by and learned. And what we're being told is that as they sat and learned, they were careful that their learning should always be learned. They should have both elements of Torah, the Iyun and the Bekiyas. Another pshat that I saw is that actually the Tznoin and Chazeres cause one to have appetite when they're eating. And normally, if somebody invites a guest, you don't necessarily want them to be very hungry because then they're going to eat a lot. But these people were so wealthy and so generous that they had no problem serving their guests food which would make them hungrier and doesn't bother them. Please, eat as much as you want. Another pshat, another question that Tosfos asks, is here the Gemara is describing the table of Rebbe, that the table of Rebbe was a table that had so much food on it, all the delicacies in the world. And Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph says that as Rebbe was leaving the world, Am Rebbe Leinanesi Me'olam Haza Afilu Be'etzem B'Ketana, I didn't have any enjoyment, benefit in this world. And here Gemara is discussing about the great food that was served at his table. So Tosfos says that what the Gemara here, when it's speaking about all the delicacies that were served at that table, was for the guest. Rebbe was so generous with the guests that ate by his table. But Rebbe himself ate very little. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbi Yosef Engels at Tzal is that the Gemara says that why were the people at the time of Achashverosh and Haman deserving a punishment? They enjoyed the Suda of that Russia. So he makes the point, the Gemara is not concerned that they ate there. As the Gemara Masech the Megillah explains, all the food that was served there was kosher food. And everything that they ate because, and they had no choice. The king invited them, they had to come. The issue was Nanu. They made a big deal out of the eating and they enjoyed it and they were busy with it. And that's unacceptable. Rebbe never said he didn't eat. And Rebbe never said that he didn't have good food. Rebbe said, Loinanesi, I didn't enjoy it. And I saw that Reb Tzadik explains that when we eat, there are two parts of the food. Part of the food is that we eat, that we can be able to live and learn Torah and do mitzvahs and have the energy to do what we're supposed to do. And the other, just to eat for the sake of eating and enjoyment. He says, that I did not eat loy nanesi. That's biktara. I didn't use my fingers. That whatever I ate just for the right purpose. Another pshat that I saw loy nanesi beetzba ktana means that I knew that I realized that Baruch Hashem, I was very wealthy. And many times when a person is wealthy, he begins to believe, unfortunately, the koichi v'otzim yodil osli sechay al zeh. What makes me wealthy? That I'm talented, I'm whatever. The hands, oitzim yodi, the hands represent what a person does in this world, what a person does and starts to believe that it is he who is doing it. Says Rebbe by himself, I never believed that I had even the smallest amount was my success due to anything I did. Everything I did, I realized, came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah continued teaching us about the holidays of the Nachrim. V'yameleida v'yamemisa shamelech divir emeya. When they burn the effects of the king, that's considered avodah zarah. But if they don't do sreifa, then it's not considered avodah zarah. Mechlal says the Gemara that the fact that Rabbi Meir said his thing, the way Rabbi Meir expressed his opinion, says the Mechlal the Meir sava. It doesn't make a difference. Palchi, if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, Palchi Lavodah Zarah, they worshipped Avodah Zarah. In other words, whenever the king makes, whenever they made a holiday on the yard side of the king, that's the Avodah Zarah, not the burning of the effects. Alma, clearly, what do we see from here? That Sreifa, just burning the king's personal items, lav chukihi. Bechlal, from here we'll extrapolate, that the Rabbanon who disagree with Rameyer are obviously of the opinion that Sreifa chukihi, that the actual burning of these things is considered an avodah zarah. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us regarding Malchi Yisrael. And the Braisa says, Sarfana Malachim, when a Jewish king dies, we burn all of these things, V'loi Midarki Amayri, and it's not considered Darki Amayri. But ask the Gemara, Eichukahi, if it's considered a Chayk of Avodah Zarah, the question is, Anan Hechi Sarfinan, says the Gemara, how can we burn the king's belongings upon his death? V'ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say Kamasa Eretz Mitzrayim Shani Meves Kshama Loisasu Ubuchukaseim Loisasu? So, of course, the Rishonim here ask a very important question: Does that mean that everything that the Goyim do is considered Chukas Akum, and we're not allowed to do it? So, the way I saw the Rishonim Tosus and Ritva speak about two types of chukas akum. One is something which is done for avodah zarah, and then there's some things that are the style of the nachrim. And they want to suggest that something that's done because it's the style that the nachrim do, there the halacha will indeed be that we're not obligated not to do it just because the nachrim do it. If this is something that we do, then we're allowed to do it. But something that's considered a chayk of the avodah zarah, that's the halacha that you're not allowed to do it. And the Rishonim take it even a step further. That even if it's something that we were doing, but if it became part of the way that Nachrim worshipped their avodah zarah, then we have to stop doing it. And some want to suggest that might be the machlokes of Rameyah and Rabbi Yehuda. What type of chayk of avodah zarah is it? Ramey says it's not part of the actual worship of avodah zarah. That's why he isn't so concerned about it. Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that's part of the way that they worship avodah zarah, and that's why much more concerned. Says the Gemara, El the Kul Alma, the Rabbanan meant. El de Kulam, everybody agrees. So, if that's the case, Kulam Masrui for Lavko Kehi. El Chshivosahi. It's to show importance to the king. Vach Vakamavki. Says the Gemara, and this is the Machlokes. Remei Yisov, V'loishna Misa Sheesh Beis Reifa, V'loishna Misa Sheen Beis Reifa, Polch Bela Etz Kachavim. Whenever the king dies, the funeral is included, is part of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Polch Bela Etz Kachavim, and that's why it's considered a Avodah Zarah holiday. Rabbanan Tzavri, Misa Sheesh Beis Reifa, Chashiv Elohu, when they go through the procedure of burning, so that makes it into an important event. And since it's an important event, they use that event for Palchibai to worshiping the Avodah Zarah. Whereas, Ein Bas Reifa, when there is no burning, like a Shiva, it's not considered such an important event. And like Palcha, they don't worship Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it's not considered the type of holiday we've been speaking about. Gufa, Gemara goes back to the brights that we quoted. Safra Amalochim, Veme Mishum Darki Amari. Even though the Nochrim do it, it's not considered Darki Amari. Shinema, the Pasuk teaches us as Yirmiyahu speaks to the Melech Yehuda. Yirmiyahu speaks to Tzidkio Melech Yehuda. And he says to him, Koyama Hashem Alecha Le Thomas Becherev, you won't die by being murdered. B'shalom Thomas, you're going to die in peace. U'b'misvayis avasecha malachim rishona ha'ishayil l'fenach k'yisr v'loch. Says the Gemara that if it's something that the Pasuk says that we're going to do, then it's certainly not included in the Chukos Akum. Moreover, I saw that the Ran suggests, since it's understandable why this was done, to show the mourning over a king's death, there's no reason it should be considered Chukos Akum. And therefore, continues the Braisa, Kshem Shasafa and Melochim, just like they used to burn the king's belongings when he died, Kach Safa and Nasiim, they did the same by the Nasiim. Umayim Safa and Melochim, what was burnt, Mitasam, their beds, Klitishmishim, all the personal items, Master Shemeser Gamliel, when Gamliel died, Sarval of Uncle Sager, Shivim Manan Tsuri. Asked the Gemara, Vamrit, how can we say that Rav Gamliel burnt, that Uncle has burnt all of this silver? Vamrit, Main Sarvalay Mitasim Akletish Mission, but we don't just go burning money. Answers the Gemara, Ema, we didn't burn money. What they burnt was. Shiva Manam Tsuri, they burnt something that the king's kalim were that expensive. So the Chasdei David says that we learn from here that even though at first glance we would assume that this should be Asur because of Baal Tashchis, but when it's being done for a constructive purpose, then it may be done. But then he goes on to explain that the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Ches Amud Beis teaches us that Gamliel, before he died, gave instructions that he should be buried in very simple tachrichim. That what used to happen was that funerals were very expensive, and when somebody would pass away, the family could not afford to make a funeral, and they would just leave him. And at that point, they instituted that all Jewish funerals should be kept small. But Unkelus, the Gemara is teaching us, said that even though that's a rule that Gamliel instituted, burning his personal things is not a violation of that rule. Because since it's only done for Melochim and Nasiim, it won't become something that's done for everyone that'll make it difficult for other people to do. Ask the Gemara, Umidachrin Eloi, is that true that other items are not burnt when a king dies? But Tanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Oikra de Melochim, that when a king dies, his animals, they harm the animals? Again, the Rishonim point out that this is not considered Tzar Baal Chaim, since it's being done with a constructive purpose that the for the honor of the king. I did see that other Rishonim say that even though this is done to the animal, it doesn't make the animal useless. Because maybe if they would be making the animal useless, it would be a concern of Tzar Baal Chaim. Again, Oikrim al Malach Vayim Bashim Dak Amari, Amar Rapapa. So why is it? Says the Gemara, because we only burn the king's personal items. And says the Gemara, Sushrachalov. We're talking about the animal that the king used for riding. So that's considered something which is his personal animal, and that's why this is done to it upon his death. Ask the Gemara, Behema Taira Loi, is the halacha that an animal that the king didn't ride on, which is not, a horse is usually ridden on, which is not kosher animal. Kosher animals usually were used for eating. Is the halacha that such an animal we don't do this to? Vatanya, ikashesh by trefa, that if you did ikur in a way that you made the animal a trefa, osur, that you're not allowed to do, because the halacha is that you're not allowed to make an animal deliberately, you're not allowed to make that an animal should be treif, even if you're not going to be eating that animal. Shame by trefa, but if you're not making the animal into a trefa, then the halacha is mut, you may do it. There is the ikur shame by trefa, and explains the Brice of what is that example where we do ikur, but it's not making the animal into a trefa. Ha menasha persa seha, if you just take off the hoofs of the back leg, menakuva lamata, from the bottom bone and below. So we see that you're allowed to do ikur, even on an animal which is not used for riding on. Says the Gemara, Tegmer Papa, we're talking about a kosher animal. We're talking about the Agola Meshechas Bikorin, the animals which are kosher animal that led the wagon that the king sat on. Therefore, it's considered, again, the king's personal object, which we're allowed to destroy upon his death. The Mishnah continued in teaching us that what else is considered a day in Shalav de Kachavim, the holidays of the Nachrim, Yom Taklachas Ziknai. Bulirasai is the like a ponytail that they would grow at the back of the head, which they would burn l'shem avodah zarah. And the Gemara wants to understand when the Mishnah spoke about yom taglachas ziknoi bulirasai. What does the Mishnah mean? Ibailu hechtani. How are we to understand what the Mishnah means? Do we say yom taglachas ziknoi? One is that we're talking about the day when the king would cut his beard and his hair to worship the Avodah Zarah. He would cut his beard, he would cut his hair, and leave the ponytail that it should grow the Shem Avodah Zarah. Idilma, or maybe what the Mishnah means, Yom Tagacha Zikna Avaris Bilrasai. The Mishnah is speaking about 2 7. So according to that, it's all one day. Cuts his beard, cuts his hair, and leaves the pony? Or is the Mishnah speaking about 2 different events? One is Yom Taglachas Ziknoi, the day when they cut his beard. And the other thing is Avaris Bilrasai, is the day that they cut the ponytail. Toshma, so the Gemara brings Raya, the Tani Tavayu. The Brisa speaks about both of these. Yom Taglachas Ziknoi, the Nachas Bilrasai. And the second Brisa speaks about Yom Taglach Ziknai Vavaris Bilrosai. So we see that these are 2 separate holidays, both of these holidays, when they cut the hair and leave the pony, and they cut the ponytail, both of them are considered holidays for the Nachrim. Says Maram Yudam Shmuel, Oid Acheres Yeshla Hembaroimi. There was another holiday that they celebrated. Achla Shim Shana. Once every 70 years, Bvim Adam Shalim, they bring a healthy person, Umakiv Nesael Adam Chigur, and they have the healthy person go on top of a person who limps. What does this holiday represent? So Rabbeinu Chananel explains that one pshat is the 70 years of a person's life, and is the once every 70 years. And the other is the 70 years which, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael went into Golus. And they were concerned for 70 years. And they were concerned that the same would happen after Churban Bayis Sheni, that after 70 years, Klal Yisrael would have a Yeshua. When they saw that the 70 years after Churban Bayis Sheni came, and the Klal Yisrael unfortunately still did not have Yeshua, they thought this became permanent. And they thought that this represents that Esav, Edom, had ultimate dominion over Yaakov. And Yaakov, we know, was a person who was a chigger, he limped, after he had that battle with the Sar Shleisa, with the Malach. The Pasuk says that from then on, he started to limp. And the other person, the healthy person, represents Yaakov. So there's a machloikus in the Rishonim about this holiday. Some Rishonim suggest that this holiday happened 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. After Churban Bayis Sheni, 70 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, when they saw that Klal Yisrael weren't saved, at that point they became extremely happy in believing that that's it, that Klal Yisrael has no future anymore. But there are those that want to suggest that it didn't just happen, but so that according to that, it only happened once. There are those, however, that want to suggest that every 70 years, they would make this holiday. Says the Gemara, so again, they would take this person, they put on the clothing of Adam Rishon, which Esav had taken, and they put on the head of this person the skin of Rabbi Shmuel. We know Rabbi Shmuel was from the Surah Ruge Malchus, and they stripped his skin off his body. And they put it around his neck, a very heavy necklace, a heavy stone. And the streets are lined with expensive stones on the street. And they announce, they declare in front of the person who's limping, who represents Yaakov Avinu, Sach Kiri, this person that said to his children, Yaakov Avinu told us that we will ultimately be redeemed, is plaster, is meaningless. Achurad Achvedemarana Zaifa, the brother of our leader, their leader was Esav. And they were saying that the brother of our leader, which our leader Esav, was a liar. And the Gemara says, if somebody saw it, it's unlikely, since it only happened once in 70 years, it's unlikely that anybody's going to see it twice. And they also were referring to the fact that Yaakov got the Bechira from Esav. They're obviously very upset that he tricked Esav into selling the Bechira, but they're saying it all didn't help him. Masayim Bahachi, Ledin by Yaakov Dayan. But they themselves said that when Yaakov comes up, when the Mashiach comes, our leader they will do din with him. But the Rishoyim themselves mixed up their words. If they would say that the cheater is the brother of our leader, so we would understand what they mean. But what did they say? They were saying Marana, the way they expressed themselves is that he is the brother of our leader, who is somebody who's dishonest. But Tana D'Dan asked the Gemara, so if they had this holiday, asked the Gemara, our Tana, my Tama lechashvili, why doesn't he include that holiday in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, l'haydi isa b'chol shata v'shata, the holidays that come on an annual basis are mentioned, the leisa b'chol shata v'shata, but the holidays, which we just finished describing, come once every 70 years, like a chashiv, are not mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, hane d'ramoi, these holidays that we mentioned in the Mishnah are holidays of the Romans. Ask the Gemara to Parsoim Mai. What are the holidays of the Parsoim? Says the Gemara, Muster Vitraiski, Perokini Umukhrin. Hani the Parsoim Dramoi. So says the Gemara, these are the holidays of the Persians and the Romans. But ask the Gemara, the Bavloi Mai. What are the holidays of the Bavloim? Says the Gemara, Kunaini, Vakisei, Vachanuni, Vaser Ba'adr. These are their holidays. Amar of Chanabar Adav Chizda Amar Rav, Vamar Lei Amar of Chanabar Rova. Amarav, Chamisha Bate Avetz Kavun Kavunheim. There were five houses of worship that every day in those houses of worship they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Veilahim, Beis Baal Bavo, Beis Navah Bekursi, Tarta Bemapog, Tzrifa Beashkelon, and Nashon Shabbat Arvia. These are places that had places of worship that all the time. Says the Gemara, he asked the Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Hasif Aleim, the Chum added some more. Yirid Shebein Bechi, Nidbecha Shebe'aka, Vidbekri Nizbur Shebe'aka. Rav Dimi Men Adam asked, Ibcha Yirid Shebe'aka, Vidbecha Shebein Bechi. Says the Gemara, Amalai, Rav Chan Bar Rav Chizda, my Kavun Hain, what is meant when we say that these are permanent houses of worship? This is what your grandfather taught us. People are always worshipping Avodah Zarah. All year round were those homes, those places where people worshipped Avodah Zarah. And in other words, even though, as the Rishonim point out, the Rashba says, it wasn't that there was a holiday every day in those places. It wasn't that there was a holiday in those places, but it was a place that had these houses of worship open all the time. And since they had these houses of worship all the time, those places, it's like a day of holiday all the time because other people only worshipped on the day of the holiday. Amishu Begoyla, in Chutz Laretz, where we are under the rule of the Umas HaOlam, Ena Osa El Yoyim Eidam Bavad. Our Masechta has been speaking so extensively about holidays and before the holiday and after the holiday. So the way most Rishonim explained this Gemara, since we live amongst these Nachrim and we rely on them for Panasa, so that's why we only are prohibited on the actual holiday. Along the same line, we live in fear of them. And if they're going to see that this is the way we treat their holidays, it could cause us serious danger. Another pshat that I saw is that Eva, we have to be careful about our relationship with them. Another pshat, going back to something that we spoke about at the beginning in a Masechta, is that the Nochrim in Chutz Laretz were not as devoted to the Avodah Zarah as they were as the Nochrim in Eretz Yisrael. And in general, we're much more concerned about Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, only on the actual day of the holiday must we separate, not on other time. Ask the Gemara, B'v'yoyim Eidam Nami, and what about the actual holiday? Mi Osir, is it prohibited to do business with them? But ask the Gemara, for Rabbi Yehuda Sharlei, the Rabbi Nuna, Lizmune Chamra, he allowed people to sell wine on the holiday. The Kainer of Gidl, Lizbune Chitin, the Chaks of the Taya. There was a holiday called Chaks of the Taya, and they allowed them to do business with them on those holidays. And says the Gemara, Shani Chaks of the Taya, we can't bring a raya from that holiday, the Loi Kavia. It's not a permanent holiday. Not every year that they celebrate that holiday. And therefore, because they didn't celebrate that holiday every year, so there's two ways of learning the Gemara. One way of learning is that we're only focused on holidays that happen on an annual basis. Well, the other pshat is that since this is not a holiday that came up every year, so it's not considered a real significant holiday, and therefore the halachas, which limit interaction on holidays, do not apply to them.